Good evening, Patriots. This is Praying Medic, and this is my QAnon broadcast for Thursday, June 25th. Welcome to the broadcast. Those of you who are following Q at home, doing your own decodes, and I do recommend doing your own decodes. You can find Q posts on a number of different websites, including QAnon.pub and QAnon.news/Q. If you have an Android device and you'd like to get notifications when Q is posting, got a couple of options. There's Q Alerts and Q Map. They're not available in the Play Store. You'll have to go right to the website and install them manually. Instructions are on the website if you follow the links. If you are new to Q, or if you have friends and family who are looking for information, you might want to check out my book, Calm Before the Storm. Some of the chapters that are included in the book are Tumbling Down the Rabbit Hole, which discusses how I got involved in the Q movement. There's a chapter on Saudi Arabia, disinformation, learning to read the map, game theory, General Flynn. There's a chapter on Admiral Rogers. I discuss a little bit my thoughts on who is Q. There's a chapter on the deep state. There's also a glossary in the back of the book that has over 500 terms that Q uses in his operation, symbols, acronyms, names of agencies and people you may not be familiar with. You can check out the book Calm Before the Storm on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble. My theme for this broadcast is rewriting history. The Democrat Party in America is fighting for its life as the party's criminality is exposed by Bill Barr and the Justice Department. The party is trying to reform its public image. Historically, the Democrat Party has supported slavery and bigotry, while the Republican Party has opposed them. Breakdown of the party votes on civil rights amendments is just one example of that. 13th Amendment that abolished slavery. Democrats voted against it by 77%. Republicans supported it 100%. 14th Amendment, equal rights. Republican Party supported 94% on that vote. Democrats were 100% against it. 15th Amendment, right to vote. Republicans had 100% support. Democrats 100% against. Once they were free from plantations, the Democrat Party designed modern plantations that would keep blacks enslaved for future generations. High-rise government housing in the urban areas. Modern plantations provide a minimum standard of living, create dependence on the state, and they guarantee the black vote every 4 years. Well, at least they did until this year. Democrat Party is hijacked by radicals in the last few years. Its current issues are establishing a socialist superstate, reducing greenhouse gases, eliminating plastic straws, and ensuring the correct use of gender pronouns. By comparison, President Trump is offering every American, regardless of their race, an opportunity to make their dreams come true. Trump is demolishing the Democrats' urban plantations through the creation of inner-city opportunity zones with the help of senators like Tim Scott. Their response to the president's agenda is not to develop a better economic plan. They're trying to rewrite history so that everyone forgets their support of racism and bigotry. The Democrats, if they're going to rewrite history, they're going to have to remove cultural relics that remind the world of their view toward blacks, their historic view. That effort is being aided by groups like Black Lives Matter. The reemergence of the group Black Lives Matter in 2020 was a predictable event. Just like Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog who pops out of his hole every year on February 2nd, Black Lives Matter becomes active before every presidential election. If you look at Google search histories, Black Lives Matter trends upward on searches every 4 years right before a presidential election. According to people who would know, George Soros is using Black Lives Matter to accomplish his agenda, the creation of a global nation-state without international borders and only one political party. Rapper Lord Jamar says George Soros is using Black Lives Matter to control people. Well, most of us know that. If President Trump is reelected in November, corrupt politicians are going to go to prison, and the hope of creating a totalitarian superstate is over. There is no next time. This is their last shot at making their dream come true. Everything is riding on this election. Normally, the globalists would just rig the election electronically to get their people in office. But NSA, foiled that plan by implementing new electronic election security measures immediately after the 2018 election. So, what does that leave them with? Well, if the election were going to be rigged, it would have to be done through paper ballots. It's harder to skew an election when voters are required to show up in person. But there is the option of vote by mail. Vote by mail became the only viable option to get the desired election outcome. The coronavirus was hyped by the media as an existential threat. It crashed the stock market. It caused lockdowns. Self-quarantine was pushed by celebrities as the responsible thing to do, which aided in the lockdowns. The perceived need to quarantine and lock down people in the midst of an overhyped pandemic became the justification for demanding nationwide vote by mail. And of course, votes cast by mail are a lot easier to manipulate. President Trump has not been silent about his view on vote by mail. He tweeted this out on the 22nd, rigged 2020 election. Millions of mail-in ballots will be printed by foreign countries and others. It will be the scandal of our times. Q responded, posted a link to the president's tweet. Is this about the virus or the election? Manipulated polls meant to legitimize rigged election results. The election was not rigged. All the polls demonstrated Biden's clear lead across the country, as an example. So we've been seeing all these fake polls coming out showing that Joe Biden is leading President Trump in most states. And they're the same kind of polls that they did in 2016. They had to give Hillary Clinton favorable poll numbers because they were planning on rigging the election. And you can't rig an election and not cause public suspicion if the person who wins the election was actually behind in the polls, right? So they rig the polls, they create fake polls to make it appear as if their candidate is actually leading when they're not. And then if they can rig the election results mimic what the polls were predicting. So Q writes here, what happens if China successfully duplicates, clones, select ballots in battleground states? What happens if coordination exists with select states to deliver printing and paper ballot recipes, in brackets, secrets, to select F foreign adversaries? Nothing to lose, logical thinking, Q. There was a news article that came out about some ballots that were printed by a local printer. There was like 500 of them. And they were going out without any Republican candidates on the ballots. All the candidates were Democrats. When it was discovered, everyone involved, the local officials, the printer, everyone said, oh, it's a human error, it's a mistake. That wasn't supposed to happen. Well, my wife has worked in the printing business, and we publish and print books. And we know that if you are a printer and you accept a job, you accept a contract to print out ballots, you're going to send a proof to your client, and they're going to have to approve that proof that shows everything and exactly how it's going to look when it's printed. So somebody had to approve that proof. And either they didn't send one, or they sent one and it was approved the way it was, and they sent out these ballots with no Republican candidates. So human error is not a really good excuse for that kind of thing. And Q and the president have been hinting that we're going to see more of that as time goes on. Q then posted a quote from George Orwell from the book 1984. Every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. George Orwell, 1984. Sound familiar? Q. This Anon replied with another quote from the same book. Now I will tell you the answer to my question. It is this. The party seeks power entirely for its own sake. We are not interested in the good of others. We are interested solely in power, pure power. What pure power means, you will understand presently. We are different from the oligarchies of the past in that we know what we are doing. All the others, even those who resembled ourselves, were cowards and hypocrites. The German Nazis and the Russian communists came very close to us in their methods, but they never had the courage to recognize their own motives. They pretended, perhaps they even believed, that they had seized power unwillingly and for a limited time, and that just around the corner there lay a paradise where human beings would be free and equal. We are not like that. We know that no one ever seizes power with the intention of relinquishing it. Power is not a means, it is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes a revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. The object of persecution is persecution. The object of torture is torture. The object of power is power. Now you begin to understand me. George Orwell, 1984. In an interview with CBN, President Trump a few days ago accused Barack Obama of committing treason. We actually have a little video of that. You want to listen to it?
On Obama and the spying situation, this idea that they were spying on your campaign, you've been asked before about what crime he would have potentially committed, but I remember you talking to
treason.
That's treason.
When I came out a long time ago, I said, they've been spying on my campaign. Mm-hmm. I said, they've been taping, and that was in quotes, meaning a modern day version of taping. It's all the same thing, but a modern day version. But they've been spying on my campaign. I told you that a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Turned out I was right. Let's see what happens to him now. Durham is, I never met Durham because I want to stay out of it because otherwise it's going to look political. But Durham, as you know, is a highly respected person, and Bill Barr is doing a great job as Attorney General. Let's see what they come up with. But they don't have to tell me. All I have to do is read the papers, the insurance policy. In case she doesn't win, we got an insurance policy. Well, that was all the stuff that we went through over the last, let's say, 2.5 years. Now we caught them. We caught them called Strzok and Page, the two lovers. Brennan and Clapper, the way they lied.
Democrats can't stand Bill
Comey.
They
can't stand who?
Bill Barr. They just think he's political.
You know why? Because he's doing such a good job. Because he's law and order. But he's got them in his crosshairs. And now we have to see what's going to happen. I will say this, if it were reversed, and if the other side sat, were at the Oval Office, right in that chair behind the Resolute desk, and it was the opposite, 2 years ago, 25 people would have been convicted, and they would be sent to jail for 50 years.
So Q responded, digital warriors ready, surrender to none, digital battleground, in brackets, where we go one, we go all, Q. Going to be hearing a lot more about this. I have another video coming out shortly on Q's current post. It has a lot more to say about this. So Anon responded, take a meme, leave a meme. This is how Anons pass out ammo. That is what it's all about. There's a very specific reason why meme warfare is being used. Like I said, I'll cover that in the next video. Q responded to the Anon, memes prep, music prep, organize, unite, prepare, Q. There is an organized effort going on right now on social media. You'll learn more about that in the next video. And Anon posted this extremely damaging piece on Democrats and nursing home deaths. Seema Verma, the administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, said that Democrat governors originally issued guidance that contradicted federal guidelines for nursing homes battling the coronavirus pandemic. They were telling nursing homes to accept patients who were COVID positive, and the federal guidelines said that is actually not a good idea, right? So Q responded to that, use this topic as target practice. Test your strengths, know your weaknesses, adapt, overcome, Q. There are certain topics out there that are in the news right now, and Q is trying to get us trained and equipped so that we can battle the mainstream's narrative on those issues. All right, and Q is going to say more about this in the next video. So I'm teasing you here a little for a good reason, because there is a lot that came out over the last day or two that's not in this video, but it'll be in the next one. All right, so my take on this article with Seema Verma is this. The crux of the issue regarding governors requiring nursing homes to accept COVID patients is whether or not the facilities have the ability to care for the patient's condition. Nursing homes routinely accept transfers of very sick people. But the question is whether a receiving facility can adequately care for that particular patient's specific medical needs. As an example, when I was a paramedic, I did a lot of ventilator transports. We just had a lot of patients who needed ventilators. If a patient requires a ventilator and the facility they're going to doesn't have the ability to handle vent patients, that would be an inappropriate transfer. It would be appropriate to transfer that patient to another facility that has vent patients. And it would have been appropriate for the hospitals to transfer COVID positive patients to a different facility if they could handle that, but they didn't, and that's a problem. Seema Verma's point was that governors mandated a medically inappropriate interfacility transfer that resulted in the unnecessary deaths of tens of thousands of people. Q then posted this information warfare. And then Q posted a link to a video worth listening to, reading. It's a very long video. It's about 1 hour and 10 minutes. And it is posted by Naboo Leaks on YouTube. And if you click on the link on my thread or you go to Q's post, you can click on it. The interesting part was captured here by Sharp Edge. A translated Ukrainian press conference not only implicates Joe Biden, but also George Soros in a plot to snatch $1.5 billion from Ukrainian taxpayers, forget this, a corruption tax, through overstated gas tariffs. Now, what these corrupt Ukrainians were doing was they created this so-called corruption bureau, which is actually covering up corruption. They instituted a corruption tax, and they were taking and stealing money from the Ukrainian citizens. And these people are just absolutely sick how they do this. And of course, the citizens don't know any better. They believe that their elected leaders are doing the right thing. So this is all coming out. And hopefully things will be getting better in Ukraine, and this is all going to come out in relation to Joe Biden. It's all coming out soon. We've known for a long time that George Soros and the Atlantic Council are heavily involved in controlling Ukrainian politics. Ukraine was corrupt for a long time, and that's why. All right. Q posted a link to another video and said a little humor goes a long way. It's one of my favorite videos.
I have 2 shotguns in my home. They're locked in a safe. There's a metal gun case. We live in an area that's wooded, somewhat secluded. And I said, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony and fire 2 blasts outside the house.
Buy shotgun.
You don't need machine gun. You don't need 30 rounds.
Buy shotgun. Buy
double barrel shotgun.
No, you don't need a flamethrower. And you don't need a tank. You don't need an AR-15 to scare those thugs away. No, and I don't need a grenade launcher. I don't need an F-15. There's just one thing I need to do, and they'll stay away from me.
Fire 2 blasts outside the house. Buy a shotgun.
Buy a shotgun.
Buy a shotgun.
Yeah, buy a shotgun, baby.
You don't need a machine gun.
You don't need a machine gun.
You don't need 30 rounds. Wait, don't buy a shotgun.
All right, then we have this from John Solomon, Justin News. It is in relation to some memos that were released that talk about the Biden-Ukraine scandal and the Southern District of New York U.S. Attorney's Office. The memos show that well before Ukrainian prosecutors reached out to Rudy Giuliani in 2019 to talk about the Bidens and alleged 2016 election interference, they first approached Berman's office, SDNY, in October of 2018 via another American lawyer. The memos show Little Rock, Arkansas lawyer Bud Cummins, former U.S. attorney himself, reached out at least 5 times in October of 2018 to Berman seeking to arrange a meeting with then Ukrainian prosecutor, General Yuri Lutsenko. Lutsenko wanted to confidentially share with federal prosecutors in New York evidence he claimed to possess that raised concerns about the Biden's behavior as well as alleged wrongdoing in the Paul Manafort corruption case. And of course, all those attempts were ignored. That's why Lutsenko ultimately ended up reaching out to Rudy Giuliani, because nobody would listen to him. So Q posted a link to that article by John Solomon. Timing of the video release, 4,500. That's talking about this video here where the Ukraine is having this press conference and it's translated into English, right? That's dropped 4,500. That's what Q is talking about here, 4,500. And Berman's termination, right? So the video comes out immediately after Berman leaves SDNY. Coincidence? I don't think so. You cannot attack your political opponent. So Q has been warning us for a long time that people running for president in 2020 would be running to as cover so that they could not be prosecuted. The doubters will soon be believers, years in the making, Q. Joe Biden's campaign is quickly turning into a dumpster fire. All right, one of the Anons posted this. Jeff Jensen, who is a U.S. attorney for Eastern District of Missouri, who has been given charge of investigating the Mueller investigation, and he's been releasing documents regarding General Flynn to his Flynn's legal team. He provided some information. It's regarding some notes that were written by Peter Strzok around the time of that January 5th meeting with Barack Obama. The notes that came out coincided with the D.C. Circuit Court's orders to drop the case against General Flynn. So D.C. Circuit Court, three-judge panel, ruled that Emmett Sullivan is supposed to drop the case against General Flynn. And of course, Judge Sullivan is not really wanting to go along with that order from the court. And then Q responded, the People's General, soon, three stars, Q, right? General Flynn is a three-star general. Back to the notes about Peter Strzok. Notes from January 4th, this is from Technofog. And actually, General Barr was in a, Attorney General Barr, sorry, was interviewed with Ted Cruz this morning, and he confirmed that these notes were actually from the 5th, January 5th. The discussion was among Obama, Comey, Yates, Biden, and Susan Rice. Biden brought up possibly prosecuting Flynn for violating the Logan Act. This is the incoming National Security Advisor. It's just the dumbest thing in the world. But the notes from Strzok say that Biden brought it up. Obama, according to Strzok, said we need to have the right people on the Flynn case. And Comey, his analysis of the Flynn-Kislyak call was that it appears legitimate. Then Q posted a link to Technofog's tweet. We have the flag, definition of patriot and traitor. And then Q says they never thought she would lose. Careless Q. Technofog going back to these, putting the notes in context. On the 4th, January 4th, FBI Washington Field Office recommended closing Crossfire Razor. That was their counterintelligence investigation against General Flynn because they had no derogatory information on Flynn. So they're going to close the investigation of Flynn on January 4th. Then January 5th, they had the meeting in the White House. And that's when these notes from Strzok came out. They were from the 5th. We have this tweet from the Black Lives Matter Toronto co-founder. She said she was asking Allah for strength not to cuss or kill these men and white folks out here today. Q posted a link to that tweet. And then we have this graph here, which shows the upticks of searches for Black Lives Matter every 4 years. Worth remembering what happens when racists are running a supposed anti-racist organization. Hatred, violence, destruction, murder, division pushed every election, every 4 years. Why? Political advantage to one party over another? What if Democrats never let go post-Civil War? What if they simply implemented a new form of control? Ownership? Modern plantations? Knowledge is power. Take ownership of yourself, your life, in brackets. Q. A link to a YouTube video, and then Q asks, did you see the noose, in quotes, used to close the garage door at the 53-second mark of the video? And that is about this video, and let me flip this ahead to 53 seconds. You can see as the camera pans past the garage, there is a rope, the garage pull handle right there. You can see it hanging down. And Last Refuge did a deep dive on this. There's the rope. Now that video is from last year, where you could see that rope hanging there. This year, interesting, all the other garage doors had these long ropes hanging down. Garage 4, no rope hanging down, it's cut off. And this is Bay 4, where Bubba Wallace, his car was parked, and there was supposedly a noose found inside the garage. Right, you can see it right there in the picture. The FBI actually came out with a statement saying that there was no crime. It was a mistake. It was a misunderstanding. The so-called noose had been in the garage stall since October of 2019. So we can close the chapter on that controversy. The Pentagon's top technology official and his deputy are resigning next month. Q posted a link to that article. More coming. Senior, in brackets, remember your oath, Q. And then we have this. Q posted a meme, Barack Obama, 18 U.S. Code 2384, seditious conspiracy, 18 U.S. Code 2381, treason. Add Biden, memes are important, Q. That does not get us caught up to Q for today. I have more coming out in the next video. I apologize for the lateness of this one. I had some issues to take care of over the last few days. Please keep me and Denise in prayer. Please keep Q and the team in prayer. Keep the president in prayer. Keep the military and the Secret Service in prayer. I love you all. Take care, and I will get the next broadcast out as soon as I can.